boy, nothing has changed my life for the better so much as taking these minerals. Pain gone, constant hunger gone, mental fog going, stiffness going.
It would not be an exaggeration to say that a transformation has occurred. I can never remember having had so much energy, vitality, and overall well-being.
I use it with a lot of people who are generally run down and whose diets are not always A1, but also in more specific complaints like osteoporosis and anemia.
The results were miraculous. All the pain had disappeared by about 90%, and 6 days after taking them, the swelling had gone.
And the doctors confirmed that no cancer had been found in the lymph nodes, which was the original site, and only a few dead cancer cells had been found in the breast.
I woke up to find that I could actually feel the bedclothes on my left leg. I couldn't believe this, but by lunchtime, I was no longer in pain for the first time in 3 years.
Hello, I'm Martin Munkester, and I'm here to bring you exciting news that may well change your thinking and whole attitude towards your health and well-being. This tape, indeed, could change your life, and very much for the better. But first, a little about myself. I've been a broadcaster, largely with the BBC, for my whole professional career, and have met many situations in which I've been saddened by the obvious poor state of health of people I've interviewed or featured. If I hadn't been a broadcaster, I'd like to have been a doctor to help people to better health and happiness. I've always been interested in healing, as is my wife, who's been a therapist for over 15 years. I also had a mother who had a natural gift for diagnosis. When we sickened with something as children, she'd call the doctor and tell him what was wrong with us. She was invariably correct. Actually, I wouldn't have made much of a doctor. Can't stand the sight of blood. But what price can we put on good health? In fact, we can't. It's a pearl beyond price, and we only begin to appreciate the true value of excellent health when we lose it, and with it, our quality of life. That's what this tape is all about. A new way to brimming good health, well-being, and longevity. About breaking free from the terrible trials of pain, disease, and depression. But there may not be much time. The more mature you are, the more urgent it is that you listen to the information I've been asked to pass on to you in this tape. A pound of prevention is worth thousands of pounds of cure. But first, let me go back to the beginning and use as a real-life example the tribulations of my own wife as she carried our third child. Our first two babies had been born without problems. The third, however, presented a desperate problem that cost my wife, and me incidentally, a very great deal of anguish and concern. As the months went by, so my wife lost more and more of her energy, until she literally had to crawl up the stairs. But it was quite some time before the doctor diagnosed that she was lacking a vital mineral, iron. There were undoubtedly other deficiencies too, as the baby was grabbing all it could from the mother's body for its own survival. But the supply was running out, and fast. At last, the doctor prescribed iron injections, and my wife gradually began to pick up her strength and finally delivered a fine baby boy who came into the world as if he really meant it. I was there to see his arrival and was pretty impressed, I must say. Some years later, my father, the landscape and marine artist Claude Munkester, had a nasty accident when on a painting assignment in South Africa. He fell and suffered serious fractures to his hip and ankle. He was rushed to hospital for an emergency operation to free the blood flow to his leg. The whole episode was a huge shock to his system. Later, he was found to have a heart problem. And so the drug regime began. Gradually, his liver started to suffer, and far from lessening the drugs and looking for the cause of his problems, his drug prescriptions were increased, with one type of drug for a particular problem and another to try to cancel out the side effects of the first one. He told me himself, shortly before he died, that he was counting out 17 different pills a day as he became iller and weaker and weaker. The source of his troubles was never addressed, just the symptoms. If only we'd known about mineral deficiency in those days, now a quarter of a century ago. He might even be alive today, a sprightly 90-year-old. The fact that he was quite possibly suffering from some sort of mineral deficiency wasn't even mooted, let alone investigated. My point is that drugs didn't cure. I dare say that given in such quantity, and for so long, they actually helped to kill my father. His body just couldn't take the invasion. He became, in fact, a kind of guinea pig for pharmaceuticals. Now, even as I speak, a dear lady friend of ours is in a nursing home in a state of deep depression, with the doctors and psychiatrists prescribing every drug they know to try to help her and correct chemical imbalances. ECT gave miraculous relief for a time, but despite that, it has been an inexorable decline into mental degeneration. And the prognosis is not good. Again, as far as we can see, for her anyway, drugs have not been the answer. Though now things are in such a state that calming drugs are having to be used just to stabilize the situation as quickly as possible. But I'm still convinced that had we known in time, with the right mineral supplements, we could have saved this dear lady years of suffering, and maybe even operations too. A hip operation was a traumatic event for her. But we'd probably have had to have started the more natural therapy some years ago to be doing the job now, and to have saved her from arthritis. Again, prevention before cure. I tell these personal stories because they're only symptomatic of the problems of families everywhere in the modern world as people live longer, fall into sickness and disease, lose their quality of life, often with their children, themselves probably in their 50s, having to sort out the mess. It's all very tragic. But why? To be sick or not to be sick? That is the question. Do we have to deteriorate into pain and disease as we approach our middle years? People say, oh, it's your age. What do you expect? So what do we expect? That a slow, sickening death is inevitable? Surely it isn't. There are ancient cultures in remote, high-level, mountainous areas of the world where people live in good health to well over 100, even much more. In Russia, Pakistan, Tibet, Peru. The climates in such areas are very dry, with less than a couple of inches of rain annually. But there's clean, natural water from mineral-rich glacial streams which run down from the mountains. They use this water to irrigate their crops, which in turn provide them with produce rich in minerals. Is it any wonder that with such nutritious food, constant exercise, and contact with the land, that these people live in good health for over a century, without all the diseases and ailments that afflict Western cultures? Minerals are the basic building blocks of life. In fact, our bodies need a whole range of nutrients in the balanced form that nature provides, or should provide, for healthful well-being. We need over 90 minerals and microminerals, or trace elements, vitamins and amino acids, as well as enzymes and the essential fatty acids, all nutritional musts. Experts will tell you that these are not just suggestions, these are absolute essentials in our diet every day of our lives. The trouble is that in many parts of the world, nature is no longer able to do the miracle job of converting minerals into the colloidal form the body can absorb. Only plants can do this for us. Modern methods of agriculture and generations of using chemical fertilizers, herbicides, and pesticides on the land in an effort to make it more fertile and increase food production have robbed the soil of the very nutrients the plants should be providing us. It's a long and complicated story of the way nature transfers the minerals in the soil via the roots of the plant kingdom to reach us as vital nutrients. As today's farmers produce bumper crops, their use of artificial fertilizers and other chemicals merely improves the look and size of their yield. But these abundant harvests fail to compensate for nutrient-deficient food. As somebody put it so succinctly, never before has the human race in general been so generously fed, yet so nutrient-starved. More on that a bit later. For proper function and structure, each living cell in this world depends on minerals. They are needed for the nerve system to work efficiently, for the proper composition of body fluids, the formation of our blood and bones, and for muscle tone. Minerals, like vitamins, also assist the body to perform the functions of energy production, growth, and healing. The human body's chemical balance is dependent on the levels of different minerals in the body system, and more importantly, on the ratios of minerals one to another. Each mineral has an effect on every other. So if one is out of balance, all the mineral levels are affected. For example, vitamin E needs manganese, selenium, and inositol. Copper requires, amongst others, folic acid, cobalt, iron, and zinc. When all these nutrients are balanced together, they create a synergistic effect that helps them become much more powerful. But let's look back in history for a moment. For eons of time, the world's farmers have known the precious value of minerals. Why did the Egyptians plant their crops in the sediment deposited from the Nile in the days of flood? Why did the conquerors want to overtake Egypt so that they had charge of the best wheat the world knew to feed their armies and build up the strength of their soldiers? They knew the value of minerals. Why did the farmers in India use the fertile soils that came down when the Ganges flooded the land? Again, they knew the value of good husbandry and the minerals that came from the glacial deposits high up in the mountains that were washed down with the silt. In Britain, our forebears used much the same system. They harnessed the great rivers like the Test in Hampshire to flood the water meadows in the winter, dropping the silt washed down by the river to provide the cattle with rich feed for good milk and tasty beef in the summer. Rather more dramatically, volcanic eruptions, if you're still alive, can bring similar benefits. You may remember the eruption of Mount St. Helens on the west coast of America in May 1980. That had completely unexpected results. The apple farmers in Washington and Oregon were most upset because thick ash smothered the land and ruined their crops. The very next year, though, because the powder fine ash had brought elements which remineralized the soil, their fruit trees were laden with more fruit than ever before, and they harvested apples that were double the usual size. And that's another thing. Why do farmers add quantities of minerals and vitamins to the feed for their animals? I've just been talking to a farmer who used to keep cattle in Sussex. He told me that his dairy cows were very prone to milk fever because of the heavy drain on minerals when they were calving. He had to supplement his cows' feed with calcium and magnesium. The balance, he said, was critical. You may have read recently in the national press the story of Britain's oldest man, David Henderson, who still farmed in Aberdeenshire at the age of 109. He died only recently. Back in the 1930s, when he was having difficulty getting his cattle to put on weight, the vet advised that they were short of minerals. "They fairly licked them up and put on weight," said Mr. Henderson. "I started to lick the minerals myself, and I put on weight too." He then experimented by dissolving them in various liquids, and finally settled on gin. Taking the concoction every day with his breakfast porridge, he swore it was the key to his longevity, fending off rheumatism. And it won him an entry in the Guinness Book of Records as the oldest man in Britain. A great endorsement for gin at breakfast. Seriously, though, it's important to realize that minerals cannot be created. Once extracted and eaten, they've gone from the soil forever. While plants can create proteins, carbohydrates, and many other nutrients, including vitamins, they cannot create minerals. The soil either contains minerals or it doesn't. Are they being replaced? I think not. Of the 60 essential minerals, generally only 3, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, otherwise known as NPK, are being put back on the land. But why would cost-conscious farmers keep spreading NPK on the soil every year? It's because each season's crops absorb them all, and the minerals have to be put onto the land all over again. So what's happened to the other 57 essential minerals? They were leached from the land hundreds of years ago. "Ah, yes," I hear you cry, "but I buy organic produce." But you must understand that organic just means not contaminated by chemical fertilizers, herbicides, and pesticides. And that's good, but we still won't be getting the mineral content we need. In the United States Congress, the government presented document number 264, which stated, and I quote, "The alarming fact is that foods, fruits, vegetables, and grains, now being raised on millions of acres of land that no longer contain enough of certain minerals, are starving us, no matter how much of them we eat. No man today can eat enough fruit and vegetables to supply his system with the minerals he requires for perfect health, because his stomach isn't big enough to hold them. The truth is that our foods vary enormously in value, and some of them are not worth eating as food. Our physical well-being, is more directly dependent upon the minerals we take into our systems than upon calories or vitamins, or upon the precise proportions of starch, protein, or carbohydrates we consume. And that report was presented to Congress in 1936. If that was the position then, do you think the situation has improved today? Not according to the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio. So, what do we do? How can we help ourselves to build up our immune systems and general health and well-being to counteract the ravages and stresses of modern life in all their forms? Well, there are ways, which if put into practice in good time, can help enormously to promote health and well-being. That's where the organic fulvic acid comes in. We'll go into the secrets of this a little later on. But first, and crucially, we need to be aware of our bodies, not just take them for granted. We must be aware of the vital importance of giving our bodies on a regular basis all the nutrients they need for brimming good health. As we've said, the nutrients we all need are not now coming naturally from the soils via our foods as they should. So, supplements have to fill the gap. But they must be the right supplements in balanced formulation that the body can easily absorb. That is the key. Without these supplements, our bodies, for the most part, are minerally deficient, and a host of diseases can be traced to a mineral deficiency. Medical opinion in America, Britain, Russia, and elsewhere, after much research, has come to this realization. But actually, isn't it obvious? Pretty good common sense. Yet do we follow it? Most of us certainly don't take care of the temples in which we live, our bodies, until it's too late. Yet we'll give our cars all the minerals they need in the form of oils, plastics, and petrol, and at great expense too, before we'll look to the care of our bodies. Perhaps this latter isn't quite such common sense. We do seem to get our priorities pretty much out of order sometimes, don't we? I remember an osteopath telling me once about a very rich 60-year-old patient of his who used to turn up in a gleaming Rolls-Royce, but his chauffeur had to help him out of it and almost carry him into the consulting room. What was the use of that, said my osteopath friend. Surely perfect health comes before a perfect car. I tried to tell him, but he still doesn't see the point. So, what's the point of supplementing? The doctors will say there's no point. In fact, there's a great deal of point. We're just not able to get our daily mineral needs simply from our diet. Actually, as we've intimated, it's minerals, trace elements, and vitamins working in cooperation and balance that maintains a state of good health. Of course, there's a lot of education to be done. Most of us, as well as the medical profession, are pretty ignorant about nutrition. But the body gives us warnings. If a red light starts flashing in the car dashboard, we know something's amiss somewhere, and we'd better fix it, or we could be in for serious trouble. But supposing we just ignore that red light and keep driving? Isn't that just what we do with nature's warnings? What we're saying here is that humankind has a great way of ignoring the signals that the body gives us, and usually in plenty of time. So, let's take a few examples of what can happen if particular minerals are lacking. Calcium, for instance. It's well known that a calcium deficiency will in due course show up as osteoporosis. According to the National Osteoporosis Society, the disease kills 40 people a day in the UK and causes 150,000 fractures annually. Each year, 30,000 people will suffer a hip fracture and will need constant attention, all for a calcium, magnesium, and boron deficiency. Let's take another concern linked to calcium. Kidney stones, one of the most excruciatingly painful problems in the medical lexicon. How many people have been advised that they've got kidney stones because they've been drinking too much milk and eating too much cheese, and therefore overdoing the calcium? That's a real red herring. Experts now say that kidney stones are not caused by too much calcium, quite the opposite. They come about when there's too little calcium present, and the body goes into a state of emergency, grabbing all the calcium it can from the bones to make up for the deficiency. Result? Raging osteoporosis. Other calcium deficiency diseases include receding gums, arthritis, hypertension or high blood pressure, insomnia, bone spurs, heel spurs, cramps and twitches, premenstrual tension, panic attacks, and low back pain resulting from such problems as sciatica, muscle spasms, and disc misalignment. The list is long. In fact, calcium is the most abundant mineral in our systems. When we're short of calcium, as we've inferred, we leave ourselves wide open to a whole range of problems. Say we take another example, the effects of zinc deficiency. This is an important one and can lead to all manner of birth defects, spina bifida, Down syndrome, brain damage, and cystic fibrosis. Zinc shortages can also cause infertility, slow healing of wounds and ulcers, loss of sense of taste and smell. I've actually seen these effects in a friend of the family. Failure of the immune system, anemia, alopecia, weight loss, anorexia, to name just some possible horrors. And then there's tin deficiency. A deficiency of tin can lead to hearing loss and male pattern baldness. Let's take another vital mineral, copper. Did you know that graying hair can be linked to a copper deficiency? And that's by no means all. Hernias, varicose veins, thyroid problems can all come about because of a lack of copper. Then there's anemia, arthritis, and aneurysms, which are large artery blowouts, rather like a blowout in a car tire. And we can add ruptured vertebral discs, reduced glucose tolerance, even learning disabilities. All because there's not enough copper in the system, albeit in minute quantities. Let's look at the essential part selenium plays in our health. Did you know that a lack of selenium can lead to heart attack, as well as palpitations and an irregular heartbeat? Selenium deficiency is also linked with fatigue, muscular weakness and muscular dystrophy, myalgia, cystic fibrosis, cardiomyopathy, pancreatitis, liver cirrhosis, as well as Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis when associated with mercury poisoning. And then there's infertility, high infant mortality, and cancer. Heart disease is the number one cause of death. Cancer, however, comes almost as high. But a 5-year study by Harvard Medical School showed that supplementing with the antioxidants selenium, beta-carotene, and vitamin E can reduce incidence of death by cancer by at least 10%. A further 5-year study in China by the U.S. National Cancer Institute found in a group of 29,000 that the same combination of antioxidants produced 21% fewer deaths from various types of cancer. Another study carried out by the British Columbia Medical School, Vancouver University, reported that diabetes, the third most common cause of death, could be greatly improved by supplementing with the mineral vanadium. The university stated that vanadium will eventually replace insulin for adult-onset diabetics. Research since 1958 has also found a link between diabetes and chromium deficiency. So, nutrition is the cry. Obvious, isn't it? Glaringly obvious. Yet did you know that during a doctor's 6-year training for their medical degree, precisely half a day is set aside in the curriculum for the study of nutrition? Yet we all know that we are what we eat. But how often does your doctor ask you for details of your diet? And how often does he or she check for any mineral deficiency? The medic might inquire what vitamins you're taking, and they are important. The trouble is, as we've said, vitamins, minerals, and trace elements don't operate in isolation. But as we come to the close of this discussion, let me make one thing abundantly clear. We are not knocking the doctors. They're dedicated people, dedicated to healing and getting their patients better, and thank goodness for them. But should we be asking the doctors to take responsibility for our health? Shouldn't we be looking after ourselves? Shouldn't we be keeping out of the doctor's surgery as much as possible, keeping our bodies strong and healthy, and calling for the doctor or surgeon for accidents and emergencies like broken bones? If we all did this, the doctors would have a great deal more time for the patients who really need it. So, in looking after our health needs, it's important to remember that minerals must be replaced constantly. They can be lost in ways we don't realize. When we sweat, for instance, we lose minerals through the pores of our skin. The fact that sweat tastes salty should give us a clue. The minerals we lose in this way perform a vital function, making up bodily tissue. They are crucial to life. There are some important factors, then, when it comes to mineral supplements. To be effective, they need to be in the right formulations. Many supplements are inorganic metallic minerals, basically ground-up rocks, if you like, which are only about 8 to 12% biologically available to the body. Well, that's bad enough. But by the age of 40, this absorption rate drops still lower, to only 3 to 5%. On this basis, even assuming your body can assimilate them, it would take over 30 1,000 milligram calcium pills a day to meet the body's needs. The body just can't absorb metallic minerals. Let me illustrate. This is the story of the fellow with the portable loo business, who protects the sewers and his bank balance by putting grids at the bottom of the pans. It costs a lot to clear bunged-up sewers. People throw all manner of things down the pan, however many pleading notices you put up. Kiddies even throw down toys, too. Anyway, when the cleaners come to hose out the pans, in the grids at the bottom, they find hundreds of mineral and vitamin pills, with the manufacturer's name still on them. So much for absorption. A better type of supplement comes in chelated form. These, again inorganic, metallic minerals, have been wrapped in a sugar or amino acid coating. In a way, the coating fools the cells into accepting the minerals, thereby increasing their bioavailability to about 40%. But here's an important fact. For maximum absorbability and nutritional benefit, minerals must be in colloidal liquid form. That being said, though, not all colloidal liquids can be easily absorbed by the body. Being in suspension, and this is the point, the particles are too large to pass through the intestinal lining. You might compare this to trying to get a tennis ball through a fly net. And this is where we come to the crux of the whole matter. This is where the organic fulvic acid electrolyte comes into its own. Organic fulvic acid is literally a life-giving phenomenon, the elixir of life. It's the fulvic acid that enables the colloidal liquid to be 98% absorbable by the body. It has an amazing ability to combine with minerals and nutrients, enabling them to be absorbed through the intestinal lining and then through the cell wall to reach the very nucleus of the cell. As this happens, nutrients are dropped off and the cell is recharged and revitalized, much like a trickle charger recharging a battery. Fulvic acid is created around the roots of plants by microorganisms in the soil. But because of the destruction of these microorganisms by herbicides, pesticides, and chemical fertilizers, fulvic acid isn't being produced in anything like the quantities it was in the past. There are, in fact, only a few places on Earth where abundant deposits are to be found. One such concentration lies in southern Utah in the United States, where scientists are now extracting the fulvic acid and purifying it for our benefit. Organic fulvic acid, then, is one of the great secrets of balanced mineral supplements. Some suggest it's been one of the greatest breakthroughs in the history of nutritional science. So, that's the story. We do hope you found this discussion interesting and helpful. We thought you'd like to hear some real-life stories from people who've been helped by the type of mineral supplements we've been talking about. They're on the other side of this tape. Do listen. Meantime, this is Martin Munkester, signing off now, and wishing you the very best of health.
That's the end of Side 1. Please turn over now for Side 2.